John chapter 17. I want to read first from John 17 and then from Luke's Gospel. A few verses scattered throughout this chapter. John 17, starting at verse 1. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Verse 4. I glorify thee on the earth, having finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Verse 11. And I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to thee. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, Luke 23. Verse 44. And it was now about the sixth hour, and the darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun's light fading, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst, and Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we rejoice that we can sing a song like this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And we think of that verse, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let us know that that which John and Paul have spoken about, we have read about in the Gospel, the death of the Son of God. Thou dost know that apart from this death, the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And yet some men trust in things other than the death and finished work of the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of sins. But we pray that this morning, by thy Spirit working within, that they shall be convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment, and they shall be shown the sufficiency of Christ for salvation. And they shall look to him and trust him. We desire also to know more about this one as he was about to depart from this world and go to the Father. And so by thy Spirit prepare our hearts who know him as Savior to receive the truth as well. And thy servant give utterance, we pray. Thou hast promised that if we confess our sins and thou dost know that we have them, then thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And so we do that. As clean vessels, we would speak for thee, and as clean vessels, we would listen to thee. So undertake for us this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I am so glad that God gave us four gospel accounts of the life and death of his Son. This is the reason. If we only had Matthew and Mark, we would only know that God forsook his Son. These are the only words that are recorded by Matthew and Mark. The words that the Lord Jesus cried when he asked his God why he had forsaken him. And so, the only thing that we would know about the death of Christ, if we had Matthew and Mark, would be that God forsook his Son. Now, if we only had Luke's gospel, we would not know that God forsook his Son. We would only know that the Savior addressed his God as Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then the scripture that I read to you. That's all we would know if we only had Luke's gospel. And the remarkable thing is that if we only had John's gospel, we would not know that upon the cross, the Lord Jesus said anything to his Father and his God at all. Because the Lord Jesus speaks to his mother and speaks to John, the beloved apostle, and cries that he thirsts and utters the words, "It is finished," but he only speaks to men and then utters words without any person being the recipient of these words. "I thirst, it is finished." And so I thank God that we have all the Gospels and that God has constrained me to read all the Gospels. Now I say that for this reason. There are so many Christians who say, doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, doesn't the Bible say, whereas the Lord Jesus said, "Ye search the scriptures," and that is what we are to do. And you may be among those who rightly know that God forsook his Son, but you do not know that the forsaking was brief and it was terminated. Or you may be one who knows that the Lord Jesus spoke to his Father and not realize that God forsook his Son. But what God wants us to know is that in the four Gospels, we have a fourfold presentation of the Lord Jesus, and not one of the Gospels is exhausted, but every Gospel is selected. That the Spirit of God directs Matthew and Mark to record this part of the Savior's life, and Luke to record this part, and John to record this part. And then God lays them all before us, and he says, "Now, what will you do since I have given you four Gospels?" I'm afraid that most of us know a little, perhaps, about one of them, or a little bit about all of them, but we have not read and compared Scripture with Scripture to see the complete revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we who glory in the fact that we have a complete revelation in the Word of God, why are we not familiar with this complete revelation? Because if not, you will know a part, and knowing a part will perhaps lead you astray. Because you will not even know that God forsook his Son. Or you will know that God forsook his Son, but you will not know that that forsaking was temporary. You will not know that the Lord Jesus had a conversation with his mother and the beloved disciple. And so what you have to decide is that I must search the scriptures daily to find out the whole counsel of God. And you must. And so search the scriptures and then you find out these things. You find out that indeed the Lord Jesus spoke to his Father, but then he was forsaken of God. But then he spoke to a thief as well and imparted forgiveness to him. And he spoke to his mother and the beloved disciple, he fulfilled scriptures. And then, instead of one or two things being done, when you read all the Gospels, you understand what the Savior meant when he said in John chapter 17, "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." And that is why I read to you from John chapter 17. If you want to know about the finished work of Christ, as I told you last week, you'll find out that God gave his Son works to complete, and the Lord Jesus completed those works. And there were scriptures that were to be completed and fulfilled, and the Lord Jesus, in his life, fulfilled every moral and every prophetical scripture that had any reference to him. And then you discover that the Lord Jesus had a baptism to be baptized with, and that he was straightened until it was finished, it was accomplished, and the Lord Jesus completed the sufferings upon the cross. And so you will not realize how full and how completely the Lord Jesus fulfilled all of the responsibilities that God placed upon him when he came from heaven to earth. And so I exhort you to read all the Gospels. Do not be one who will argue and say, God forsook his Son. I do not remember God ending that forsaking. Do not be like that. I've heard so many people insist upon a specific teaching of Scripture, and it's right, but then they have not compared Scripture with Scripture. And so read all the Gospels. God has given them. And until you have read them, and until you've compared them, then let your phraseology be not, I know that the Scripture teaches this. You have to put it in such a way, you could say instead of I know, you could say, can you give me a reference that the Scripture teaches anything other than this? Because someone is liable to say, yes, I can. I can give you several Scriptures. But if you say, it does not say, someone will come up with a Scripture. And so study all of it. And then, when you know what all the Scriptures say, and you have an overall view of what the teaching of the Word of God is, then your soul will be strengthened, and you will be able to speak with much assurance, rather than with question marks, and with uncertainties, and with hesitation. And so, as I've been telling you, the Lord Jesus knew all things. Jesus, knowing that he came out from God, knowing that his hour was come, knowing what was coming upon him, knowing that all things are now finished, the Lord Jesus knew all of these things. He was aware of all of these things, and so the Lord Jesus, and I have insisted upon this, knew that he had been forsaken of God. But he also knew exactly the moment when that forsaking, when that abandonment ended. And it ended, I take it, the moment the darkness came to completion and the light burst upon the scene again. And then the Lord Jesus uttered another cry. And so for these seven cries, if I have read them and compared them correctly, three of them were uttered in the light before the darkness began. One of them, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was uttered in the darkness just as it was ending. And three of the utterances were uttered after the darkness ended and the light returned. And those were, I thirst, it is finished, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so God will let us know all of these things if we read the gospel, and God would have us to. And so let me encourage you. Let me exhort you to know the Word of God as a whole. Not a part, but know it as a whole. And so, the next to last thing the Savior said was this. It is finished. Well, what does a man do when everything is finished on earth? You say, why? He died. Well, that's what the worldling does. And the worldling, if he's lucky, makes plans, and he carries out these plans, and he completes these plans, and he says, now, everything is finished. And so I ask him the question, well, what next? He says, why, I die. That's true. But what next? He says, what next? Yes. Because that's the important thing. It says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. It says in Psalm 90, so help us to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom. And so he thinks of these things, 80 years, 80. And so he numbers his days and he tries to get things done. And then he says, I've finished all the plans that I made on earth. What now? It says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men to die, but after this, the judgment. And so it is necessary not only to plan to number your days in this life, but to prepare for the next life. And let me ask you that. Have you done that? All of you may be preparing, putting into a pension fund, you're paying for the house, you're doing everything possibly, humanly possible, to have things prepared throughout your life. But if you do, and all of the plans you make are finished, then what? You say, well, I'm going to die. But you have left out the most important thing. It is appointed unto men once to die. Of course you're going to die. It may be that you finish what you planned. You may not finish what you planned, but you are going to die. But the Bible has told you, after death, the judgment. Now, have you made plans and preparations for that judgment after death? And if not, then you are a fool. Because the Bible says in Luke 12, this man is making plans for this life. God has been gracious to him in a material sense. He's given him a bumper crop, and he says, what am I going to do? I do not have space enough to store all my goods. I will tear down my barns and build greater, and I will lay up goods for many days, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many days. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. And God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Well, how could a man be a fool? He's labored. He's been successful as a farmer. He's prepared for the future. But that's just for the future in this world. And the Bible says, tonight thy soul is required of thee. And so you've prepared for the material part of your existence that is controlled by the soul. But what about that existence after you leave this world and go into the next? What preparation have you made for that? And if you've made none, even though I would congratulate this man, and please, all of you, provide for your household as God directs, but God says, thou fool, if you provide for this life only, and you've not provided for the eternal welfare of your soul. Because, according to the scripture, when you die, that's not the end. According to God's definition, death is not an end to the complete being of man, only a part of the man. I wish you'd been out on Wednesdays, because I've been adding to this teaching that we've had in the New Testament as well as the Old, and this is what the Savior said in Matthew chapter 10. He said, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. You say, well, I thought that when man died, everything died. The Lord Jesus said, no, there are two deaths. Do you realize that? And that man can kill the body, he said, but man cannot kill the soul. And he adds that God does not kill the soul, but that God is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, because destruction is simply eternal separation from God and that fellowship that he originally intended the man to have with him. For destruction is not annihilation or cessation of existence, as I will show you as we go along, God permitting. But it is simply failure for man to realize his original purpose. And God created man for himself. You were not your own. You were not made for yourself. You were made for God's pleasure and God's will. And if you fail to realize that, then you are destroyed. And if you are cast into the lake of fire, and it says there shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, then you are destroyed. But you are still in existence. You are destroyed because God wants you in heaven with the saints and with the Lamb. That is eternal life. But not to possess eternal life is to be destroyed. And the Bible does not speak about God killing the soul. Man would kill your soul if he were able, but man can do nothing. And some try to do that. They try to kill the soul, but God tells us that death is not cessation of existence, but it is separation of the material and immaterial part that God has made man to consist of. Because it says that God made man in the first place with the dust of the ground, that's the material part, and it says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so man can kill that body. When Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him, Cain was able to destroy his brother's body, but he was not able to destroy Abel's soul. And the Lord Jesus reminds us that. Well, if he's not able to destroy his soul, then the body dies, but the soul is alive. And what happens to it? Why? It was beautifully and succinctly recorded by Ecclesiastes, this man who is groping, but still he has seen this. In speaking of death, he says, "And the dust shall return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth unto God who gave it." The dust, the material part, returneth unto the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth unto God who gave it. And it returns to God, and God is he who assigns it a place in paradise or a place in torment. And that's what's going to happen to you. Because at times that immaterial part that God has given you is spoken of as your soul, or it is spoken of as your spirit. And it says concerning the Lord Jesus two things. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell in the unseen world. And I read you from Luke 23, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so the immaterial part of the Lord Jesus experienced the same thing that ordinary men experience, even though they are sinners, and he was sinless, he was the sin bearer. Death for the Lord Jesus Christ was a dissolution of his body and the separation from that body of his soul and spirit. And the Lord Jesus' body, unlike man's body, his body did not return to the dust as it was. His body did not see corruption, because that was one of the guarantees that the Father gave the Son. Thou wilt not give thy Holy One to see corruption. But the immaterial part of Christ's body did go back to the Father who gave it, because the Spirit of God came upon Mary, and that holy thing that was formed in her was called the Son of God. And so the Lord Jesus had a soul and a spirit and a body. And that spirit and soul went back to God in the unseen realm. And I've been telling them this, and you must remember it. Yes, the Lord Jesus went to hell. But there is Gehenna and there is Hades. And Hades consists, in our Savior's own words, of paradise in Luke 23 and of torment. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And the Lord Jesus said to the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so the thief and the Lord Jesus were in Hades, that's translated hell, in the unseen realm, the realm of departed spirits, but they were in paradise. And that rich man, you remember the rich man and Lazarus the beggar? It said in hell, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And so the spirit, the soul, returned unto God who gave it, and God assigned it a place in torment or in paradise. And so death for the Lord Jesus was no different in that respect. There was a dissolution of his body and spirit, and the spirit and soul returned to God, and his body ceased its functions, and the Lord Jesus, you read, was taken down from the cross, because even though this body was not going to see corruption, the hands that had gone about doing good, the feet that were beautiful, that had brought glad tidings of peace to the world, his lips that had uttered the truth of God, all of these functions ceased to exist because death claimed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, he died and his body ceased to function. But that was the likeness of the death of Jesus Christ with yours. But the unlikeness is this, that his body did not see corruption. Yours shall, mine shall. But his body did not see corruption. But there was that dissolution, that separation of body and spirit. Now, I'm going to show you from our Savior's words and other descriptive words in the New Testament that three things that are taught by men concerning death are untrue. They say that death is annihilation, cessation of being and consciousness. When it comes to the body, that is absolutely true. That body, once it dies, and this may be a comfort to you, some want special coffins that are put and secured in cement so that nothing can get to the body. That body feels absolutely nothing. It has ceased to feel pain. It has no sensations at all. That body is lifeless. That's true. And so take comfort from that. But the spirit and soul continue. There is no annihilation because if it were annihilation, what is it when the rich man was buried? That's the grave. It says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment. If this man has been annihilated, what is it that's being tormented? You say, well, he couldn't be annihilated. Why, of course not. There is conscious existence after death in a man's soul and in his spirit. And so if they say, annihilation is what the Bible teaches, because man dies and he can feel nothing and he can see nothing, he can sense nothing, that is absolutely true. His body has none of these sensations. But God teaches us that the immaterial part of man, apart from the body, has these sensations. And so, notice this. It has sensations, and there is no cessation of existence. And also, it has power of action. You say, why? Because it speaks about the spirits in prison. Why do you put someone in prison? You say, to keep him from acting, doing something that he would do if he were free. Why, of course. And the spirits are put into prison because they have power of action. And so there is continued existence and there is power of action. And not only that, but continued feeling and consciousness. But also, there is no purgatory because it says in Luke 16, between us and you, the paradise and the torment, it says, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, and there's no going from here to you or from you to here. And so if they teach soul sleep, the Bible knows nothing about it. If a man's soul is asleep, what is this he's saying? Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water because and touch it to my tongue, I am tormented in this flame. Well, that's conscious existence, not annihilation. Not purgatory, because there's no getting out. Purgatory means that you will be purged in some way and get out of the place of torment into paradise. But the Bible teaches nothing like that. And so, from these simple scriptures, understand that the Lord Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he had already promised that thief on the cross, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so, some who call upon the name of the Lord are going to be with the Savior in paradise. And those who neglect so great salvation, and that other thief had the same opportunity, he did not call upon the name of the Lord, then, unless they have someone who is able to admit them into heaven, indeed they both go into Hades. But God assigns the spirit to torment if they have not called upon the name of the Lord. And if they have, then with the Lord Jesus, they go into paradise. And so I'm asking you this. This life that you plan, all of this security, all of these enjoyable days that you're going to have when you reach a certain age, well, in the first place, how do you know that you're going to reach those days? Because God looks down upon men and all of their best made plans at times he blows upon them. And then they collapse, and God says, you fool. And James said, come now, ye that say, tomorrow we will go into this city, and we will trade and get gain for a year. He said, you know not what a day may bring forth. Say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. And so if God gives me health and strength and financial security and the ability to enjoy it, indeed I may enjoy life. I may take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry, but I'm not going to be a fool and say it independently of God. Because I have barns and material goods, I'm going to enjoy life. My times are in God's hand. I have not that ability. God alone bestows that ability upon man. And so, am I speaking to fools out there? Fools who think that they can retain the Spirit in the day of death when God calls for the Spirit? Fools out there who have planned adequately for this life, but have forgotten that scripture that it is appointed unto you once to die, but after death, the judgment. What preparations have you made? And it has taken you a lifetime to get security financially, a home. You've done everything you can in this world. And the greatest and the eternal security that is yours is by uttering, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. How remarkable that if you will repent and call upon the name of the Lord, then God will give you eternal security. He will give you a home in heaven. He will guarantee for you what he guaranteed for that thief on the cross. Verily I say unto thee, today or when you die, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he guarantees you this, that though your body returns to the dust as it was, the Lord Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. God guarantees all of these things for those that make preparation for after death. And so the place may be filled with fools. Those that are wise fools, making good investments, taking care of their bodies, making great plans how to spend their life. And then you're going to look back over your life and say, well, I did everything I intended to do on earth. Well, if you have, you've still failed. It is finished, the Lord Jesus said. But when he said, it is finished, he said something else. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Do you see? The Lord Jesus had done everything that he was supposed to do in this life. And then he was going back to where he was before. He said, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. And he had already promised that thief he would be with him in paradise. And he said concerning the ones that were living, he said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And the Lord Jesus is preparing a place not only for that thief, but for all who have trusted him. As he said to Simon Peter, will you also go away? And Simon said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have known and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus has prepared a place in paradise and in heaven for Peter as well. And so it is a good thing if the Lord Jesus has made preparations for you on earth and has done good for you on earth because he does that. Paul speaks about God giving them fruitful seasons, enjoyable days on earth. But the Lord Jesus can also give you provision in heaven. He gave his mother earthly provision. He said to John, he said, this woman is your mother. And he said to his mother, he said, woman, behold thy son. He made earthly provision for her. And it's so good if a man and a woman have someone to care for them in their old age. It is such a good thing. But it is a better thing if someone has a person to care for them after they reach old age and die and has a preparation made for them in heaven. Do you have that? And so if not, you are most miserable. You have loving children that have cared for you on earth, but you have not children that can care for you after you leave this earth, but the Lord Jesus can. And that is what he said. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and all of this is yours. The Lord Jesus made provision for his mother on earth, and he made provision for his mother in heaven, and he can do the same for you. And some have provision on earth, but do not have it in heaven. Lazarus had that. Lazarus had no provision on earth, but he had provision in heaven. And the rich man had provision on earth, but no provision in heaven. But the Lord Jesus promises both. Why? He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God does so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Christ promises provision in this life. He will make all the provision you need until it's time for you to die. But more than that, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And so you can have loving children and relatives that will provide for you and care for you in your old age. But when you die, their care for you ceases. And therefore you must go to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus has made that eternal provision for you. And think, all of this can be yours. You may have Abraham and his bosom. You may have angels to attend to you when you leave this world and go into the next. You may have the tree of life. You may have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see all of your beloved friends who have trusted Christ as Savior. All of these things are yours if you call upon the name of the Lord. Because if you do that, then the Lord Jesus promises you, as he did that thief on the cross, this paradise shall be yours. But if you neglect it, why, you're among those that the Bible calls fools. That you provided for this life, but not the next. But the Lord Jesus knew about both. He spoke about this world, but he spoke also about the world to come. Now the Lord Jesus has departed this life, and he's gone to be with the Father, and he wants you to go with him. Will you come? Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for every son and daughter caring for their father or mother, or those that have not ability to care for themselves in their old age. We thank you for this faithfulness. Honor thy father and thy mother. We are thankful for every son and daughter who have done this. But our God, we realize that there is only one son who can provide for fathers and mothers in the world to come. And that is thy son. And he desires to do it for everyone. And so we pray that this auditorium shall not have any fools who are here, who are so wise when it comes to material things, things for the body, but they are foolish when it comes to things for the soul. When by uttering from their hearts, God be merciful to me, a sinner, calling upon the name of the Lord, they can be saved and have all of these glorious things on the other side of death, can be prepared for judgment and shall not come into eternal condemnation and judgment because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so wilt thou make them wise this day. Let them be wise men and call upon the name of the Lord. And may all of us here go with thy son and spend eternity with him. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.